Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Dear Christian friends, grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you know all the slogans of the armed forces. The popular ones, of course, Semper Fidelis, which is always faithful, good, U.S. Marine Corps. How about Semper Fortis, always strong, U.S. Navy. How about Semper Paratus, always ready, that's the Coast Guard. Or there's the recruiting slogans, perhaps you know those. Aim high, fly, fight, and win, Air Force, obviously. Forge by the sea, the Navy, good. Army strong, of course, the Army. The few, the proud, Marines. Born ready, Coast Guard. Well, I was searching for this and looking into it a little bit for Memorial Day weekend and also thinking about our text, and I came across some of these I thought were interesting. I'm going to share them with you. The U.S. Air Force has a number of, just the longest list of slogans for each of the wings, if you will. For example, the U.S. Air Force 5th Bomb Wing in Minot, North Dakota, of all places, just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I used to live in South Dakota. This one must be in the Indian language. It's Kaya Akalua, Guardians of the Upper Realm. Interesting, huh? The 7th Bomb Wing in Dyess Air Force Base in Texas. Is how you pronounce that, Dyess? Mors Ab Alto. That was a very interesting one. Death from above. The bombing. So it's like God's anger there. Death from above, right? How about the 55th Wing in Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska? I like this one. Vidimus Omnia. We see all. That sounds like God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or the sayings of Jesus I found in a number of, I got four good ones for the sayings of Jesus. I thought, wow, these are all Jesus' words. The 68th Bombardment Wing in Elglen Air Force Base in Florida. Also the U.S. Army Infantry School. Follow me. Follow me. How about the 84th Combat Sustainment Wing in Hill Air Force Base in Utah? Cursum Perfico, I finish my course. That's Jesus' words. Today and tomorrow I finish my course, and the third day I rise. They borrowed from Jesus' words, but made a little bit different understanding, of course. The 97th Air Mobility Wing in Altus Air Force Base in Oklahoma, Venit Ora, the hour has come. Jesus said that in the garden. The hour has now come. Yes. Or the 308th Armament Systems Wing, Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, Non Sibi Sed Alis, in Latin, which is not for self, but others. Very selfless, thinking about Jesus saying, better to give and receive, we heard recently, and all that you care for someone else. Then there, indulge me just for a second, my favorites from the list. The 507th Parachute Infantry Regiment, inactivated in 1945, but that one was down to earth. Parachutes, down to earth. I thought that's pretty good. The 118th Military Police Company, heaven sent, hell bent, the mighty, mighty. That's pretty good. The 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Infantry Regiments, Nolle Me Tangere, don't touch me. Pretty good. And the 34th Infantry Division, long history in World War I and World War II, is not in Latin, it's all English, all capital letters. Attack! 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 Well, three slogans that I looked in our text today from Revelation 21. They kind of help us think about what's in that text today that we heard from St. John as he's on the island of Patmos receiving a vision from God. Three slogans I found here in the sixth Sunday of Easter in that text. And this is the final vision that St. Paul has of heaven in Revelation 21. The first one I found is this: Vidimus sponsa uxorem agni. We see the bride, the wife of the Lamb. One of seven angels came and said, here, come up here and I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That is, Jesus' bride, Jesus' wife. He being the Lamb of God, as we heard in Revelation chapter 7 and also John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who St. John knows as the Lamb. And we see the wife, the bride of the Lamb. That's Jesus' wife. And behold, St. John tells us, the bride is a city. But not just any city. This is the holy city, Jerusalem. Only this is not the earthly one that we know of. This one comes down from above, like those parachuters I just mentioned. Coming down out of heaven, having the glory of God, radiant like a rare jewel, a high wall with 12 gates, on the gates 12 names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel, on the 12 foundations, the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. Therefore, the city is the people of God, Old Testament and New, who were called, chosen, elected to believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the people of God who confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, they make up the holy city, Jerusalem. The gift of the already atoned for, forgiveness in Jesus' name. This city, this church, this bride is united, wedded forever to Jesus, the Lamb. That's the final picture of heaven that you get. Like a city with streets of gold, gates of pearl, each with the name known and beloved by God, this vision of heaven is precious to our God. The second slogan that builds on this, nihil templum in polis. No temple in the city. That's an interesting thought. Whenever you think of Jerusalem, right, what's the main place everybody wants to go? Let's go to the temple. Let's go to the Wailing Wall where the temple was. Where did King Solomon build the temple? Where did David establish the city and put the tabernacle until they had time to build the temple? Well, what happened to it? Where did it go? What is Jerusalem if it doesn't have the temple in it? Some say that's what makes Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city of shalom, of peace, because it holds God's temple where God dwelt and the priests sacrificed and the people prayed. Well, guess what? There's no temple in the city of heaven, according to St. John, according to the book of Revelation. Deal with it. This is the inspired word of God. Don't try to change it or force it with your own hopes or aspirations. Nihil templum in polis. No temple in the city. Back in the day, that's the 80s, by the way, back when we all watched game shows, nobody does that anymore, I don't think. There used to be the concept of the consolation prize. I don't know if they even have that anymore, do you? But the non-winners, right, the losers, would get the consolation prize, sometimes known as the booby prize, if you're on a show. So, hey, you didn't win the luxury car, sorry, but not to send you home empty-handed, we're giving you a picnic basket set, right? And I think it was more for the audience to feel better about it than the actual person, because now they go home and they go, every time they see that picnic basket, they go, I didn't win the luxury car, right? So not having the temple in the city, that is no temple in heaven, is not because we lost at the game of life. In fact, if anything, while we had the temple on earth, we had the consolation prize. Because all the while, we didn't have what we would have had had not Adam and Eve fallen into sin. And that is the presence of God continually. Remember, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and God walked in the garden with them until they fell into sin, and now they're kicked out of the garden, out of God's continual presence. So the consolation prize was, oh, well, here's a temple, and I'll come down and I'll dwell with you there. I'll let your priest sacrifice to me there. I'll listen to your prayers when you turn and pray to me there. That was the consolation prize. But now in heaven, according to St. John, there's no more temple. Why? Because we won. We won the grand prize now. You don't need a temple, the consolation prize. You're going home with the real thing, the luxury item. And that is God's continual presence and the Lamb. God, who is, doesn't need to hide in a tent anymore, behind a curtain, or on top of a box. He is there for all to behold and see. God there in the flesh of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And we, the bride, gathered together in the great marriage feast. The grand prize being always with the Lord and the Lamb. Also, no sun or moon, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Remember, John also said, the Lamb is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. So we walk by faith in that light, and there will be no more night, no more sin, no more death, no more detestable and false things, he said. And that brings us to our final slogan, Libro Vitae Agni, the Lamb's Book of Life, mentioned at the end of the text. Libro Vitae Agni. This book contains the names of those whom God has jointly wedded to his Son, the bridegroom, Christ Jesus, by faith and through the means of grace, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper. That is the way God has united us to himself, to be his chosen, called, elect people of God here on earth, through baptism, through the word that you hear, through the gifts at the table. These are the names that God has in the Libro Vitae Agni, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a picture of the guarantee of God's almighty work that we now belong to him while we wait for all these things to be. So, when the journey of life makes you weary, when you mourn the loss of loved ones, including those soldiers that we remember this Memorial Day weekend, remember that God knows his own and has compiled a list, written names in a book that lasts and never fades or falters or gets eaten or anything else. Libro Vitae Agni, the Lamb's Book of Life. God never forgets. He who was raised from the dead, never to die again, keeps a book with your name in it. The Lamb's Book of Life. May we remain his faithful bride, knowing where your name is written, and knowing where you are blessed and beloved, the bride of Christ. God's peace to you in his holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.